You were never made to go without God. You were never made to go without other people. And so when you're facing discouragement, the truth of the matter is, yes, you and I are weak, and we can't do it alone. The calling that God has for us to accomplish is more than you and I can do on our own. We were meant to be dependent on God. We were meant to be dependent on other people.
From Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute, this is the Level Paths Podcast. We're glad you've taken some time to join us. My name is Chris Weigel. There are four things in life that are unavoidable: taxes, change, death, and discouragement. And speaking of discouragement, if you go for more than about a day without some form of discouragement popping up, you might be living in a cave by yourself. On this Level Paths podcast, we don't want to be a discouragement, but we do want to explore some ways that Christians are to approach it. When we read through the Bible, discouragement is a popular topic. Dr. Matt Shamlin recently taught this to his Sunday school class, where he is pastor at Rose Hill Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky. Here's Dr. Matt.
And welcome back to another episode of the Level Paths podcast. My name is Dr. Matt Shamlin. I am the Appalachian Research Fellow at Tri-State Bible College and the host of this podcast. What I want to share with you today actually came out of a lesson that I was preparing for my Sunday school class. Not only am I a professor at the Bible College and the Appalachian Research Fellow, but I also am a pastor and I teach a Sunday school class. And studying the life of Elijah was a really helpful study for me. It's a study we just started, but the area that really touched me was an area that I think that I am especially prone to, and that is discouragement. And as I studied Elijah, I noticed the way that he dealt with discouragement. In Appalachia, churches are smaller, the population's aging, the economy is in not just a decline, but a free fall. And those are all factors that can be very, very discouraging, being separated at a distance, not just from our folks at church, but also from other pastors and other people in ministry, can be a real discouragement. I remember in college, we had three chapel services a week. And on Wednesday, each Wednesday, Dr. Jerry Falwell would come and preach. And there were a few sermons that each year he would preach again and again and again. And one of those, you can find it online, is a sermon called "The God of All Encouragement." And in that sermon, he would quote Winston Churchill's commencement address. And that was very short, but always encouraging. Never, never, never give up. Never, never, never quit. Those words, he built really the entire sermon. Dr. Falwell was not an expository preacher, but Dr. Falwell was an incredibly encouraging preacher. His sermon really was designed to encourage his congregation and students not to quit, not to give up. That is a message that most need to hear today, to not quit, not give up. When you study the Bible, you find out that discouragement is not just a thing that happens to the weak, but discouragement is something that takes place in the normal course of life. Elijah was prophesying, and the people of God were disobeying, and he faced really what was one of the most formidable kings in all of Israel, and that was Ahab. Ahab was a wicked king, and his wife Jezebel was a wicked queen. And Jezebel had all of the prophets of God killed, except Elijah. And what we find out later is there were others as well. You know the story. Elijah has a head-on collision with the prophets of Baal. He confronts Ahab, and you know he calls down fire from heaven, and God shows up in an incredible way. And after that, he's on the run. He slays the prophets of Baal. God's presence was made known, and he is on the run. And when he's on the run, he falls into discouragement. He went from the mountaintop to the valley in one step, and he is in deep discouragement. And the Bible says that he goes, sets down under the tree, and wants to die. Discouragement is a normal part of life. There are a plethora of people in the Bible who dealt with discouragement. Job, David, Jeremiah, Moses, Hannah, Asaph, all of them dealt with discouragement. I think about Job. When you really don't know the story of Job, many think of Job this way. He loses everything that he has, and he is just encouraged right to the end. But that's really not the story of Job. In fact, towards the end of the book, it is God himself who confronts Job and reminds Job of who he really is. Scripture's filled with encouragement and admonishment to overcome discouragement. Discouragement means that you are a person who was never made to go it alone. You were never made to go without God. You were never made to go without other people. And so when you're facing discouragement, the truth of the matter is, yes, you and I are weak, and we can't do it alone. The calling that God has on our life, the calling that God has and for us to accomplish is more than you and I can do on our own. We were meant to be dependent on God. We were meant to be dependent on other people. But also, I would say to you, remember, working yourself to death is not a credit to you. You may need just to get something to eat and take some rest. When we look at Elijah, what happens? God tells him to take a nap and get something to eat. If we were to summarize the passage of Scripture, you used to hear a saying, well, you know, I would rather burn out than rust out. Well, the truth of the matter is, either way, you're still out. It's easy to get the high off of doing something great and just working yourself to death. But remember, that working yourself to death can be a distraction from actually spending time with God. I know for me, I'm a pretty busy person. It's difficult for me to slow down. It's easy to just continue in that race. But when I find that I have to slow down, I really deal with a lot of anxiety, because that, maybe we could say it this way, that high of just continually moving forward, that continually stirring, that continue trying to accomplish something, it keeps us distracted from dealing with just the quietness. But God has given each and every one of us a responsibility to be faithful stewards of our body. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is to no credit when we wear those bodies out and not take care of them. In fact, the need to take care of them is a reminder that we have a need for a Savior. Remember this, when we read Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 pictures the Sabbath. And I know many would say, well, Dr. Shamblin, we are not under the law. You're right, but the pattern of Sabbath, needing a rest, is a pattern not only given to us before the law, but it's a pattern modeled by God himself. And when we look in Hebrews 4, that need for a Sabbath is ultimately a need for a Savior. The fact that we need rest means that we need a Savior. The fact that we need to stop and eat means that we are in need of a Savior. There's no one who in the last couple hundred years who modeled that accomplishing something great and yet dealing with deep discouragement more than Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon was the most famous preacher in the world. He pastored the Metropolitan Tabernacle that had a membership of about 14,000 people. He led a college, he led an orphanage, a newspaper, a mission society, a benevolence ministry, just to name a few, and he traveled continuously. The story goes something like this. A man saw Spurgeon getting off of the first-class passenger car of a train, and he confronted Spurgeon, and he said to him, "Mr. Spurgeon, don't you think it would be prudent to save God's money And he said, "My dear friend, it is more prudent to save God's servant." As Spurgeon sought to accomplish great things and carry out the call of God in his life, he wore down. And actually, Spurgeon died at a fairly young age because he didn't do a great job of taking care of his body. Spurgeon, at least a portion of his life, smoked. Spurgeon was overweight. Spurgeon didn't sleep much. He was continually producing. And as much as we may love Charles Spurgeon, it is a reminder that we must take care of our bodies, and we must recognize that working ourselves to death is not a credit to me or to you or to anyone else. We have to take care of our bodies, and as we do, that is a reminder we are in need of a Savior. But when we're dealing with discouragement, we have to remember that we must find our encouragement in the presence of God. Now, there are some of us who may need to attend to some physical issues that lead to discouragement, and so we may need to go see a medical doctor to deal with those. But as we find our encouragement in the presence of God, we find that in Elijah as well. Elijah meets with God, and he repeats a phrase over and over and over again in just one chapter. He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts." So Elijah recognizes what he's been doing, and maybe even Elijah is a little frustrated. I think we could say that pretty safely, that he's frustrated. And yet he meets with God, and there things change. We took a moment and looked in 1 Kings chapter 19. In verse 11, we hear these words. "So he said, 'Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing." Elijah met with God. And when he met with God, everything changed for him. We must remember that our lives, and from that our ministries, are built on continuing to practice fundamental spiritual disciplines. When God saves us and when God calls us, that calling is built on the continual practice of fundamental disciplines. One of my mentors used to talk often about John Wooden, the coach of the UCLA Bruins. I mean, this is a man who won nearly a dozen national championships in basketball. And he had the ability, of course, to recruit some of the greatest basketball players in collegiate history. Yet, the legend goes that he would bring in those basketball players, and the first lesson that he would teach them was how to put on their socks, the most fundamental of tasks. In the life of every believer, we're going to face discouragement. And yet those fundamental tasks of reading the Bible and prayer and scripture memorization and fasting and on it goes, those are not just for the people that we may speak to, but those are disciplines that must be readily practiced, continually practiced in the life of every pastor. When we get discouraged, it's easy to look at our schedule and there's so much pressing in that the Bible reading that we do is Bible reading to prepare for another message. And that's incredibly important. But it's easy for the task of preparing a sermon to become academic, and yet it is something that reaches our head and something that never gets into our heart. In order for you and I to minister well, to minister faithfully, we must stoke that fire, as Paul tells Timothy, stoke that fire anew and afresh in us. Our goal is not just to speak to people on an academic level. but rather to be transformed by the Scriptures, transformed by the presence of God, transformed through prayer, transformed through times of solitude, transformed through fasting. We must spend time with God to overcome that discouragement. Find your encouragement in the presence of God. And finally, get with the people of God. You are not alone. Elijah, again, talks about how he had been zealous for the Lord, and he makes this statement, "I alone am left, and they seek to take my life away too." He was being pursued, and he looked around and he said, "I'm the only one left, and they're going to kill me too. What are you going to do now, God? What are you going to do without me, God?" And God's response is, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal." God's response, you're not alone. You and I were designed for fellowship with other believers. If you're like me, I'm a person who likes to be alone. I like to spend time working in the garage. I like to spend time working with my hands. There's a time that I just very much need to get out of the office. And I need to think and process the things that I've been studying and what God's doing in my life. I need to do that. But I also need to be around other believers. And that honestly goes contrary to a lot of who I am. But God made me to be in fellowship with other people. He saved me for that. And so I would encourage me and I would encourage you to remember you were designed for fellowship with other believers. That's easier to do now than ever before. You can pick up the telephone. You can meet for lunch. You can go for a cup of coffee. You need to be ministered to just like you need to minister. Recently, a retired pastor started coming to our church, and he and I had not had a great time to connect. It just didn't work out. And I reached out to him on social media and said, "Hey, I'd love to sit down with you." And he said, "Hey, the only day that I have free this week is Monday," and which was the next day. And usually my schedule's filled up weeks in advance, and it's often difficult to make that happen, but my schedule was free that Monday. And I have to tell you, it was absolutely a divine appointment, because we sat down in a local restaurant, and to be honest with you, I was there to minister to him, and he ministered to me far, far more. This is a brother who's about two decades older than me, and he has just retired, and he's moved to the community, and he started to share with me his story and used it in an incredible way to encourage me and told me, "Hey, I want to be here for you." And oh, I can tell you that it was just an incredible time of encouragement. You've got to seek those out, and those are going to be often contrary to our tendencies, but yet, we need to be ministered to just like we need to minister, and we need to be in fellowship with other believers. And maybe you are in a difficult church circumstance. Well, I want you to know at Tri-State Bible College, we have monthly fellowships, and there's really no agenda. It's just a time to get together and have some coffee and spend some time with other pastors. The agenda is just encouragement. There are opportunities to get together with other pastors in the community. And so I want to encourage you to get with the people of God and recognize you're not alone. There are other believers who are going through the same things that you're going through. And it's important when you're going through the deep waters, the difficult times, that you have people who will help you, people who will encourage you. Dr. Jerry Falwell, a man that really has ministered to me, not just in my time in college, but even from the grave. I go back and often listen to sermons that he preached. And again, Dr. Falwell was not a great expositor, but he was an incredible encourager. And he made this statement, "You do not determine a man's greatness as the world does, but what it takes to discourage him." There's a lot of reason to be encouraged. There's a lot of reason to continue in the fight. But remember, Discouragement comes even to the greatest of people. If discouragement could come to Job and to Moses and to Charles Spurgeon, then how much more could it come to Matt Chamblin? Remember, working yourself to death is not a credit to you. Get something to eat, get some rest, take care of yourself. Find your encouragement in the presence of God. Don't give up. Don't quit. And meet with God, just as you used 2 years ago. Meet with God, not to prepare a sermon, but just to nourish your soul. And get with the people of God. You're not alone. You're not the only one. They may be miles away. They are plowing in difficult soil, maybe just like you are. If you're in Appalachia, you're plowing in difficult soil, but you're not alone. Get with the people of God. Maybe reach out to Tri-State Bible College and find out when is that next pastor's fellowship. And you may know no one there, but there are other people who are just like you, who need the encouragement just like you do. You're not alone, brothers and sisters. Recognize discouragement is going to come, but return to those basics. God's going to use this. Appalachia can be an incredibly difficult place. It's a dark place. There's spiritual warfare in big ways here. But you're not alone, and you need others as you are seeking to serve Him faithfully. I'm Matt Chamblin. I am the Appalachian Research Fellow, Tri-State Bible College, and I'm also your friend. I want to encourage you. This was an encouragement to me, and I thought this really is a message that would be an encouragement to so many. Keep in the fight. Keep going. Keep serving the Lord.
So the question isn't when or if you will be discouraged again. It's how you will handle it. As Dr. Matt mentioned, Dr. Jerry Falwell liked to quote Winston Churchill. And Dr. Falwell used to tell Liberty University students that success in life is nothing more than going from one failure to the next with undiminished enthusiasm. It's excellent advice, especially in the context of ministry. Maybe you're serving in an especially tough place. You're not seeing much fruit, people aren't cooperating, money is tight. Discouragement after discouragement can start to get heavy. If that sounds like you, it is critical that you look for someone you can talk with. Maybe it's the pastor up the road or across town. Or what if you're someone who can see discouragement cropping up in someone? You might be in a place right now where you can minister to a pastor or ministry leader who really needs it. Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute exist as a resource. If you need more information on the topic of this Level Paths episode, you can reach out to Dr. Matt Chamblin at the Appalachian Ministry Institute by email, matt.chamblin@tsbc.edu. The Level Paths Podcast is an outreach of Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute.